Claire, is that one for you and one for your grandma? Well, you gotta sign one for grandma. Run. Come on, ring that bell. Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Glad to see you here. The last Sunday in January already. We're going to go to February. So we still have gleaners on Wednesdays at 10:55 be here, 11 o'clock. They open the gates for the food. So, and if you know of anybody, be sure and call. We have our Zoom prayer meeting on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And it's great to get to come. And if you go to the webpage, you can just click on prayer meeting like that and go down to the, please go to the WCG. It works great. I love doing it that way. So I know it's not WCG. It's GalesCreekChurch.com. And Marilyn Hintze, her remembrance service is next Saturday at 2 o'clock at New Hope. If you're interested in going, check with me or Debbie or somebody. And so we'll see who's interested in going. And next Sunday is our potluck Sunday, February 4th. So just bring whatever. I don't have anything special planned, so everybody can just bring whatever. And also hymn sing, where we get to pick the song. So if you know a song you want to have sung, why be sure and let it, you can call it out when we have our old-fashioned worship. It's great. I think everybody enjoyed that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today just with open hearts. We just come to worship you. We thank you for the warmer weather. It just feels so good right now. It makes us feel like spring, but we just praise you, Lord, that you have given us this warmer weather after all the cold. Be with us, Lord, as we worship you, as we sing praise to you. Be with Pastor Teresa with the message that she has to share with us today, Lord. And just be with those that aren't here, Lord. Just let them know we love them and we miss them. And we just praise your name in Jesus' name, holy name, we pray. Amen. All right. Going to go to our call to worship. And it is Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2.
What a beautiful thing, God, to give thanks, to sing and anthems to you, the high God, to announce your love each daybreak and sing your faithful presence all through the night.
Come into its presence with thanksgiving in your heart, and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voice is raised, your voice is raised. Give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus, the name above all names. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voice is raised. Your voice is raised, give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus, the name above all names. Give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus.
That warmed us up.
All right, a solid rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest grave, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness fills his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is heaven and his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Light of the world.
worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. To see my sin upon that cross, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I
above all blessing and praise,
For you alone are the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. For you alone are the Lord.
Stand up
and bless the Lord forever and ever.
Stand up
and bless your God. He alone is the Lord.
Stand up
and bless the Lord forever and ever.
Stand up
and bless your God. He alone is the Lord of all.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. God bless you. Let us give back from the ample blessings He has given us. Is there not a day that goes by He does not provide? No. Maybe not in the way we expect, but He does. Lord, thank you for your ongoing, everlasting, never-failing providence in our lives. Even at moments when we don't see how ends are going to meet, we see the Almighty Trustworthy One and can trust and know they will. All the many times, Lord, you have given us the food we need, the shelter to stay warm, the friends to share your love with, and the family to count as a blessing. For these things and more, with gratitude in our hearts, we say thank you and return our gifts to you. Amen.
I got stopped up the aisle with the first prayer request. Claire wants to make sure y'all know her next competition is this Saturday, and she wants prayer for her team to do good. So, but this is the time we get to be family again, right? I know there's been stuff going on in the prayer chat. Prayer for Vicky, for her sister-in-law, for your mom, right? Let's see. Helen was in there as well.
really wanting to get her eyesight to be restored, right? I'm going to check, see if anybody put anything in our live stream for prayer requests today. Not yet. Prayer for Bill and Donna, traveling back safely from St. Francisville. Continued prayer for my mom to feel better. She's feeling pretty good, but yep, she's coming in the right direction. So that's good. I want to lift up my father-in-law, Lou. Sarah's at home watching over him this morning. So he's at the point where he cannot take care of himself now. He can't remember when to take his meds and whatnot. So, he doesn't always eat. So Sarah's been doing a great job of fattening him up every night and on the weekend to hopefully make it through the week. And we've gone to waking him up in the morning to give his meds, because he'll forget to take them before we get home, and then it's time for night meds. So anybody in caregiving understand that one? Absolutely. So we're adjusting life, and just prayers that, you know, God will help us get through it all. Anybody else? Yes. For Gene and Lori's daughter, Stacy, who's having surgery on Wednesday. Prayer for a positive outcome. Jeremy. Okay, so Jeremy's lifting up prayer for Bill and Donna to come back safely on Wednesday. Yeah. Spoken like a true big brother there. Wink. So Wink is wanting to pray for the families who have lost loved ones in the Middle East conflict right now, and prayer that our involvement is righteous and necessary. Rhonda. So prayer for your husband Ken and a biopsy this week. Okay. Which day? Life can get to be such a bore. Yeah, it's this week. So lift up Ken. Anybody else? Gene. Gene would like us to lift up and remember his father in prayer. Anybody else? Judy. Continue to lift up Lori Cooper. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes my tongue gets all tangled up too. So prayer for Lori Cooper. Yes, Joe and Ashley and Aubrey and Jacob. The only way I remember that is it's two J's and two A's. If that helps you guys, it's having lunch with them last week at Phil's, found out that Ashley, the mom, is a special ed teacher. So it was fun to share stories and from the trenches, if you will. Yeah, hopefully. They were looking to have something more permanent as far as housing goes coming their way. So, regardless of the reason they're not here, God watch over them, protect them, bless them. We love them, their family. Debbie, I think I saw your hand up. What was the name again?
Carly.
Okay. Okay. Well, Judy said that she's had a recent history of flatlining and been brought back, but she could be gone or could be here. No update to know. Anybody else? Anybody got a praise they want to share? I woke up this morning. So it's proof God still has a sense of humor, you guys. Yeah, I really don't mind having a little bit of heat after that cold. If it goes back to normal Oregon winter after that, that's fine. I enjoyed this heat, this warm up. Absolutely. I just want to praise God for a great first semester at my teaching job. You know, sometimes you just don't know how jobs are going to go. But when you have the opportunity to show Him and what you do and for it to be received well, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Makes the job so much more worthwhile. So, anybody else? I want to thank God for my brother Tony, because this last Monday Lou fell a couple times and he was just in the kitchen. There's nobody home except Tony, but Tony came in. Tony's in our trailer right now, came in, found him, and he'd only been on the ground for 10 minutes. And got him up, called 911. They got him to his chair. No injury. So any fall where you don't get hurt, I guess, is a good fall at a certain point in life. So hallelujah for that. Thank you for my brother Tony. Yes. Pray for Tony as he tries to be Rhonda this week. And prayers that my brother can find a permanent teaching position. Anybody else? Susie. Amen. Susie's prayer request is that where her mom Fern is at Marquee, that another time come that is convenient for everybody there for a weekly church service so they can be fed. There's something to be said for the light of Christ. And when you carry it with you and everywhere you go, you make the world a better place, I'm telling you. And all you have to do is just carry the light. You don't have to, like, forcefully shine it. Just, yeah. Yeah. Praise God for us being able to come and get fed. Now the prayer request is for Mom and everyone else at Marquee to find a time. Yeah, maybe. Debbie suggested if they were able to gather as a group and tune into our church online, maybe that could work. Oh, well, it's okay. Yeah. Well, and 6 o'clock is not a convenient time. Yeah,
6 o'clock is sundown when you get over. I'm telling you, it's so hard for me to stay up till midnight anymore. I know. Wow. All them young kids staying up till midnight. All it takes is a couple kids not going to bed and I'm good to go. Anybody else with a prayer request or a praise? We're here. That's a praise in itself. I can see your faces. That's a praise in itself. We get to work another week. Love another week. That's a praise in itself. He's still got purpose for every one of us. And developing it for a few over there. That's a praise in itself. Let us go together. Almighty God, trustworthy, righteous, just, loving, thank you for the providence you bring into our lives every day and the lives of those that we love. Thank you for the opportunities to be your hands and your feet to all of those around us. Forgive us when we miss that call. Forgive us when we don't pay attention to the nudge. Forgive us when we are stuck on social media, endlessly wasting time that you would have us reach out to someone else. Show us, guide us. For the contacts you would have us make. Help us use social media to spread your light, your kingdom. Lord, thank you for the many blessings. Homes, new homes, hopefully, for a family here. Lord, food, shelter. Thank you for the blessings of jobs and retirements and jobs to do in retirement. Lord, thank you for sunsetting and help us help others sunset well. Give us the strength to make it through every day, loving those who we are caring for and still showing your light after a long, hard day. Lord, for those who cannot be here today, who are in care homes, who are not with us, Lord, we know that your spirit lives in their hearts. And we ask, Lord, that you lift them up right now and that your Holy Spirit, Father God, Holy Spirit, just take the love from this room and transfer it to their hearts. Lord, thank you. We ask you to look over those who can't be here. Lori can't be here and Fern can't be here. But Lord, find a way, provide a way for them to get you every week in fellowship and growth into their hearts. Lord, there's not one day in our lives we don't need you and can't learn to love you more. Till our dying breath. Lord, we lift up many other needs, Lord, needs for safe travel, Father God, in this body, and needs for full-time employment, the blessings of getting to the point where you can sub and be of use to others. Lord, just so many ways you put us into this society, Lord. Help us shine your light every step, every interaction, every text, every email. Give just a little bit of you into the chaos of our society. Let your love reign supreme over our hearts, that we can mend and heal the rifts in our country. You called us to do that, to be peacemakers, not compromisers, that we give up what you have commanded us to hold so dear and follow so righteously, but nonetheless do those things with peace and love and stand ready to say why. Lord God, for our places of work, we ask that you make us a beacon, that we continue to shine your light where we are, that your love comes through our hands and our feet and our lips and our eyes, and help us remember always to listen twice as much as we speak. Lord, we lift up our leaders of this nation. We ask you, Holy Spirit, go and knock on the doors of their hearts. Bring revival to this land, not just through the church, as it should be, but through changing of hearts and leadership also. Lord, we don't even really know who is at the helm of this country, except that we know you are at the helm of this creation. And so we trust you above all other governments of man. And we ask you to be God over them all. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we got any kiddos? Yo, kiddos. Come on there, Bear. You got some awesome glasses on there. Come show everybody. Landon, you going to come? Oh, well, say good morning. Say good morning to Anthony and Josh. They jumped online. Good to see them this morning. Landon, are you going to come sing? Yeah. For some reason, I'm feeling like I don't necessarily know this song. Let's learn it. You guys ready? Gotta be ready to clap then. Let's follow Judy's lead, okay? Here we go.
Go, Judy.
Rise and sing, children of Zion, for the Lord be. Rise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee. Open up your heart and rejoice before him. Open up your heart and rejoice before him. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. The King is your God. Arise and sing, ye children of Zion. Our Lord has delivered thee. Arise and sing, ye children of Zion, for the Lord has delivered thee. You ready for the three claps? Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. Open up your hearts and rejoice before him. The King is your God. Good job, guys. Lord, thank you for these children that you have given to your house here. Lord, go before them, make straight their paths, put your angels before them to take away the temptation and give them strength to overcome. Help them grow in the knowledge of who you are. Welcome them into your kingdom. Amen. Oh, no money rattling. Sometimes there's money rattling in my pants, but not today.
Good morning, everyone. Lord bless you. Today we are going to end our series, The Fresh Start. A fresh start in Jesus means inclusion of others. Remember we talked about that. That was our first lesson. Extending God's kingdom to outcasts and outsiders like Zacchaeus, because that's who he was. He was an outsider. A fresh start also means gaining an understanding of how God works in and through small things that have a huge impact. And in that same lesson, that sacrificing our will, something so small, can lead to eternal life. Last week, we discovered God is our hen and we are his chicks if we choose to allow him to be so. Remember, scripture says, oh, how I long to just gather you under my wings. But Jesus said to the people at that time, but you just keep rejecting me. Let's not reject God's wanting to gather us, protect us, love us, guide us, correct us. Because all of those things will help us remain faithful to our mission like Jesus was. Remember, that was the other part of the lesson. Jesus was faithful to the mission that God had called him to. And that's how we can be faithful, allowing God to take us under his wings. Today we're going to talk about how we can change the world in response to the change that's been offered to us. A fresh start begins with living in awe and gratitude of God's gifts. So follow as I read from the Message translation, Luke 17. We're going to look at verses 11 through 19. Thus reads the word of God. It happened that as he made his way toward Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. He is Jesus. As he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance, but raised their voices, calling out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Taking a good look at them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. They went, and while still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider? And then he said to him, get up, on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you. Amen to God's word. Wow. Now, you may be familiar with this story. It's one of the many recorded miracles Jesus performed. In fact, it's not the first time Jesus has healed a leper. He's done it before, but it was a sole person and not a group, remember? For those who grew up knowing this story from Sunday school or maybe vacation Bible school, like me, you might already be jumping to conclusions about the lesson to be learned. And no doubt you're feeling good because you know it's a lesson on being thankful, right? And then there are some of us who are thinking, I always say please and thank you because my parents taught me well, right? Because that's what he did. He came back and said, thank you. Being thankful is one lesson that can be learned from this story, but it's not the only lesson. Luke doesn't give us the rest of history that might actually show the other 9 returning later to thank Jesus. It's just in that moment, it was just the one. He only points out the one who happened to be Samaritan at that, amongst Jews who come back and thank Jesus. But this doesn't mean that the others weren't any less grateful, right? They just didn't come back and say that they were. And it's also not recorded. But I think there's more to the story than meets the eye. So allow me to give you some historical context. There's a reason Jesus instructed the men to go see the priest. In Old Testament times, and in the biblical days, leprosy made you an outcast, right? Just like Zacchaeus was an outcast because of the job that he did, to be unclean and because of leprosy, that automatically made you an outcast. You actually could not live in the city. They would make you go and live in communes, lepers among lepers, men in their own leprosy colony and women in theirs, women and children in another. It's very fascinating. The disease was very contagious, so that's why they had people go and live outside of the village. You were sent away to live among other lepers. You and the rest of those people that had leprosy like you, you had your own colony, and that's where you expected to live out your days. Isn't that just hard? Because they then have to fend for themselves. They don't have farms and can do all the things. You actually have to become your own community to survive. So this, of course, is very isolating. You were cut off from your family and friends, from school, from church, from work, going to the synagogue, right? You can no longer do that. The disease is horrific. And we still actually have leprosy today when I went and looked it up. Because there are some diseases that we can cure. You can get inoculated. You can do the things and, you know, you'll be fine. But leprosy is still here. And I'm like, wow, really? We haven't conquered it? It goes by a different name now, Hansen's disease. It's named after the physician who identified the bacteria that actually causes leprosy. So it's still here. It affects the skin, the mucous membranes, the nerves. And in severe cases, disfigurement can happen as well as deformities. It can start as a rash or a cluster of bumps, and then it just spreads. And because it's airborne, it's an airborne disease, you have to be quarantined, which in biblical times meant living with other lepers. They didn't have a cure for it back then. We do now. You can get treated with a series of steroids and antibiotics. But nonetheless, it still shows up, which is amazing to me. Now, as a Jew, scripture required you to live separate so you wouldn't defile the others around you. And if by chance, for whatever reason, you got well, I don't know how that would happen, since you didn't have antibiotics back then, but if for whatever reason you got well, you had to go to the temple, be inspected by the priest, okay, who could then pronounce you clean. And so the process wasn't accomplished in a day. It would actually take a series of ceremonies and religious rites. So having the priest bless you was the way of acknowledging your return to the community, right? So now, once an outsider, if your skin gets clear, you get to come back and be a part of the community of believers. So this is why Jesus says, go to the priest. And at this point, this is where the story gets interesting, because 9 of the 10 are Jews and 1 is not. He is a Samaritan. Now, it's always interesting to hear when Jesus talks about Samaritans and Jews. He makes this contrast in his stories that he shares. And he does it then and there as well. Interesting to me that the one person who would be the least likely to come back and say thank you is the one who actually comes back and says thank you. Very fascinating. So if you know anything about the Jews and the Samaritans, you know that the two don't mix. Tony's already laughing. Yeah, that's not a good thing. It's not like salt and pepper that goes together. They don't go together. They don't go together. It's the same reason we have cliques today. We try to act like we're so above the people in the Bible, but we're very much like them. We're just different day, same stuff. Same stuff, right? Because we do it too. Group A thinks they're better than Group B. It could be your national origin, your financial status, your education level, a neighborhood where you live, the type of car you own, or guess what? Religion. Fascinating. And what's ridiculous is that both groups believe in the same God. That's what's so fascinating about Samaritans and Jews. They worshiped differently, and they practiced their faith differently, but it's the same God. Similar things that happen in Christianity. You can be Baptist, you can be Methodist, you can be all the things, right? But nobody's going to heaven except for Gales Creek. Right? Why do we do that? It's the same God that you are serving. You're just choosing to serve differently. It doesn't mean that they're going to hell because they don't sing the same hymns. Lord, have mercy on that one. See, that's a whole nother topic. The songs that you sing, the clothes that you, all the things, it doesn't save you, people. Hello. Newsflash. This is what Jesus' point is. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And focus on the things that really are important. Jews look down on Samaritans because Samaritans married non-Jews. And to make things worse, one of the Jewish priests married a non-Jew and sealed the deal. He served a king who made a mountain the capital city and built a temple there. And that's where the outcast priests lived and served. Mount Gerizim became the second Mount Sinai, if you will. So remember from the Old Testament, Mount Sinai is huge for the people of Israel because that's where God met them. And so now it happened because of when they were exiled and they were coming back from Babylon, everyone just started worshiping God differently. And so now they have this Mount Gerizim, which is their holy mountain. And so that causes the rift between the Samaritans and the Jewish people. All Jewish, but because they've intermarried, they're not pure Jews, right? To be Jewish, your mom has to be Jewish. So this is their fallout. And then they start practicing worshiping just a little differently. You can read about it in Ezra and in Nehemiah during the return out of Babylonian exile. And when they go to rebuild Jerusalem and its wall, that's where you can get the history of what all happened, why they have that falling out. Now, everybody knows you're not supposed to marry a heathen. You're just not supposed to do it. That's what the Word of God says back in the Old Testament. What's wrong with you, right? Why did God tell them, though, not to marry non-Israelites? He says to them, they're going to attempt to gather your attention away from me, and you're going to start worshiping other gods because that's what your neighbors do. Now, the same argument can be made today. It's really not a good idea to date and marry folks who don't share your faith. It's not because you are better than they are or vice versa. It can create right out the gate a divided house because you have to think about these things, just practical everyday things. How are you going to celebrate and observe holidays, birthdays, weddings, funerals? Some people don't believe in celebrating birthdays. So is that okay with you? Are you not going to celebrate Christmas? You believe in Jesus? Like, how does that work for you? And how will you make decisions? These common everyday routines aren't usually influenced by your faith. Maybe they're not, so it may not matter to you as much. But if you are in relationship with God, it's going to matter. When you don't believe in the same God, that may create unnecessary stress. And marriage alone is W-O-R-K, all capitals. Even when you're on the same page. So why in the world would you do that to yourself? But enough of that. The only reason the nine are hanging out with the one Samaritan, because they're above him, it's because now the tables have been turned. They're all equal, right? Leprosy has made them equal. They gotta band together in order to survive. So they put their differences of God aside and live together. They're all deemed outcasts. And this poses an interesting dilemma, because you're not going to see it in the text, but if you know the Samaritan history, you also are going to know that because they have the two mountains, because they have different places to worship, they're not going to go to the same priest. So I'm curious, I wonder, was the Samaritan running in the same direction as the other nine to the Jewish temple? Or did he know, I'm not going to be welcome there, so I should be going to the Samaritan temple? Interesting. Not there in the text, but interesting. The non-Jews and the ritually unclean Jews were forbidden on pain of death, because you actually would get stoned if you tried to approach the temple and go into the inner courts if you were unclean. This is why the priest has to stop you in a certain space, inspect you, and then allow you into the inner courts. So you can't do that. So it's a part of the duties of the priest to frequent the chamber where former lepers gather so he could check them out, administer the rites, and grant passage into the interior. Now, being a Samaritan, he would always be seen as unclean, right? So just interesting, like, huh, he might have gone to the left when the other were going to the right. But again, we don't know if he was planning on journeying to the Samaritan temple, but it doesn't matter, because before he goes, as he's running there, he realizes it's gone. It's gone. Let me go back and thank him. So he about faces and runs back to Jesus just to say thank you. And this is where the lesson actually lies. The Samaritan and Jesus exchange teaches us several lessons about a fresh start. One is gratitude. Like your parents say, always say please and thank you. Right? Two, it teaches us about the salvation of the soul. Ah, this is a good one. And thirdly, it also teaches us about accountability. So let's talk about the most common lesson folks identify, which is gratitude. It's easy to teach people to say thank you, but it's harder to teach gratitude. Gratitude is the state of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. It's being aware of receiving a benefit. So think about the Samaritan man. He realizes, I have been healed and I can now go back to my community, my family, my church, all the things. I can go back to work and start earning wages to support my family. All the things are going through his mind. So because of that, it moves him then to do an about face and go back and express his appreciation for what Jesus has done. When one is grateful like that Samaritan, it motivates you to express your thankfulness in action. It's not just the words, oh, thank you. It's actually living out your gratitude. It moves you beyond saying thank you and doing something to express your thankfulness. For the Samaritan leper, that meant, again, doing an about face, running back to Jesus to say thank you. And when he returns to say thank you, the lone leper does something else. It's almost, you know, like a Passover. You don't even pay attention to it. He doesn't just say thank you. What does he do? One of them, when he realized that he had been healed, turned around and came back, shouted his gratitude, glorifying God. He's actually praising God on his way back to Jesus. And then after praising God audibly so everybody could hear him praising God, he bows down to Jesus' feet. Grateful, the scripture says. Now, let me explain what's happening. Not only does the leper express gratitude by shouting and giving God verbal praise, he kneels before Jesus. Bowing, as you know, is customary in many cultures to demonstrate deference, right? You are in power and authority over me. This is why I kneel. We use it to honor deity, royalty, our superiors, such as teachers and the elderly. Socially, kneeling, similar to bowing, is associated with reverence, with respect, submission, and even obedience, particularly if one kneels before a person who is standing or sitting. The kneeling position renders a person defenseless and unable to flee. So I am giving up my power to bow down to you and your power and authority. And this is what this man does, a Samaritan. So by kneeling at Jesus' feet, the leper offers not only gratitude, but submission and obedience to Christ. He's recognizing he must be the Messiah. He recognized that Jesus is not a mere miracle worker. He's not just here to put on a show for folks, some magician. He's actually God's Messiah. He is divine. So the Samaritan leper teaches us also the second lesson, that salvation of the soul. I like the way John MacArthur describes the leper's thoughts. Allow me to read what he says. This is from John MacArthur. He had been in the presence of God, and he wanted more than physical healing. He went back embracing the full potential of getting from God what he knew he really needed. His heart was longing for a relationship with the divine healer. He wanted to give himself to that divine healer. He wanted to fall on his face beneath that divine healer as a recognized sinner and worship and adore him, as well as praise him and thank him. He wanted something more than just a physical healing. He knew enough about the Old Testament to know that God was not just a healer, but a redeemer. And primarily a redeemer and a savior. He's not content with just the physical. He understands the reality of his alienation and need for reconciliation to God. See, so he's not just thanking him for physical. He said, he's the Messiah. Let me go back and get salvation. Because the God that I serve is not just a God of healing. He's a God of redemption. He's a God of salvation. Now, too often the world and we, the church, we want God to heal us. We're really not interested so much in his true intention, which is to actually heal our soul, heal our relationship with him, so that when this world is over, we can live with him forever and eternity. But also, if we're in relationship with him now, guess what? He lives with us right here and now. This is why God wants to heal. This is why he wants to redeem and save us, not just touch you in your physical body. And that Samaritan man knew this. So he ran back to Jesus for his salvation. We take for granted God's daily provision. And even when we recall the tight times, we still are tempted to give a quiet or reserved thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're so good. We thank him in the moment and then quickly return to our self-centered lives, only to look to him to bail us out of the next dilemma. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. And you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do about A, B, and C. So the same God that helped you yesterday can help you today? What is happening? No, but we get all nervous, Nelly, and we want to panic. God is just like, really? Really? He's doing a land it. Really? We might be just like the nine who were excited beyond measure to return to civilization, and that's just the way it was meant to be, right? Running to get right back into debt, arguing with your neighbors, arriving to work late, cooking dinner, bathing your kids, helping them with their homework, doing all the things after you've said thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And now I got to go do all these things. Rather than thank you, Jesus, let my life show my gratitude for who you are in my life. That, my friends, is gratitude. It's more than just saying thank you. Your life needs to show your gratitude to God. He wants to be in relationship with you, with us. And so we might miss the fact that God heals our bodies so that he can save our souls. And not only our souls, but the souls of others. The Samaritan recognizes the need for his soul to be saved in addition to his body, and thus he returns. He submits to Jesus, who grants him his desire, eternal life and restored relationship to God. That's why he kneels. Now, you might be wondering how I can draw that conclusion, but look back at verse 19. Depending on the translation you use, the Greek word there, you can't tell it's in Greek, but it's sosokin. It's probably rendered as healed. So go back and look in different translations. You're going to most often find it as healed. And so no doubt Bible translators chose to heal to match the most obvious lesson. Remember, because this is, again, as a child, you're supposed to say thank you. This is what people used that story about for saying thank you. But it's not just about saying thank you from being healed from leprosy. We should make note, however, that the first and most common use of that Greek word actually is to save, to deliver, to protect. And the secondary application is to heal. So if you go back to the scripture, which is what the message does, it says both, right? He says, your faith has healed and what? Saved you. That's what Jesus came to do. Save that which was lost. Those are his words that we quote. I have come to save you. So I don't care if it's King James, the New Living Translation, NIV, Revised Standard Version, they all focus, even the Amplified, focus on healing because he had leprosy. They miss God's intention of healing both body and soul. And it's the message that captures that. God saves us for a reason. He's not interested in you coming to heaven alone. Our salvation should lead to others coming to God and knowing him. That's why Jesus said, shine your light and be salt. When you look at the Samaritan man, what is he doing? He's not just going, oh, thank you, Jesus, to himself. It comes out of him. Thank you, God, for saving me, for healing. He's literally shouting it on his way back as he's running. And I'm sure people were like, what is that man doing? Okay, he happy about something, right? And then those who hear him, he's saying something about thank God for healing him. Ooh, I wonder what happened. Now their curiosity is piqued. And when they see him again, no doubt they're going to ask him, hey, I heard you running that way and you were talking about something. What were you talking about? God healed me and he saved me. It's going to be his testimony. What does your life say to the people around you? Is it, I got to go to church because I have to lead the music this morning. I got to go do Bible study. And all the things you got to go do. Or are you happy because you know what? I get to be with my friends at church. We're going to pray today. We're going to study the word of God today. And I'm going to be able to come back to work all refreshed and renewed, and I'm going to be able to shine my light. Are you excited about it? Because if you're not excited about it and grateful, then you're probably in the wrong place. You're probably in the wrong place, and you're coming for the wrong reasons. So ask God to help you, because we can't know. We can't judge. We all have our own stuff to be dealing with. Lord, help me to be like that Samaritan man. Am I really grateful? Help my life to show that I'm grateful. Help my life to show that I know who you are. Because that's the lesson there. Your gratitude should motivate you to do better, to be better, to want to share the love of God with others. That's the reason God saves you, so you can be in relationship with him and so that you can bring others to be in relationship with him. That's why Jesus preaches that, let your light shine. on that mountainside that one day. The Samaritan will share of his soul's salvation in addition to the restoration of his body. Because when he returns, he's going to say, there was this man named Jesus. He's the Messiah. Look at my skin. He healed me. And he saved my soul. So he's going to become a witness. But the third lesson that we have, when we have a fresh start in Jesus, we should also be aware of the accountability that comes from being in relationship with God and being in relationship with his people. Jesus sends all 10 of them to go meet the priest. The priest is the spiritual leader who has authority and represents God himself. Jesus demonstrates to the lepers that being part of the family of God means submitting ourselves to godly authority. So he could have just healed them, right? Oh, go back and be with your families. But then people would have been like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. You have leprosy. Did you go to the priest? Oh, well, I need to go to the priest for. Jesus, help me. You could do that. Or you could do what Jesus told you to do, was go see the priest, submit yourself to authority, and do it the right way. Okay, you could be doing a good thing, but you might not be doing it the way God wants you to be doing. That's where accountability comes in. Go to those who are in authority so that you can be welcomed back in to the community. They could have returned, but Mosaic law said you had to report to the priest who would announce to the entire faith community that you had been restored and that the community could receive you once again. And this is an important lesson because there are ones that argue, well, God told me to do this and God ordained me to do that. Mm-hmm, yes, he did. Your calling and your anointing, your commission doesn't exist, however, in a vacuum. God called you to be a part of his family of God, okay? So for all you people who want to be out there willy-nilly by yourselves, that's not what the scripture teaches us. So come back to the word of God. If the word of God is your authority and that's what you're standing on, then recognize what you're supposed to be doing. You are in accountability with the faith community. You're not out there, Lone Ranger, doing your own thing. The word to the wise, it doesn't mean that as a congregation, we then get to legalize every little thing about people's lives. When your church tells you how to breathe, what color clothes you should be wearing throughout the week, when to eat and sleep, please, Sister Susie, turn around and run. Run from them. Because that is also not what God has designed us to be and function as a family of God. We don't dictate to people how they should be acting and what they should be wearing and how they should do. No, no, no. Not that either. There's a delicate tug and pull between Christian tradition and our applied faith. Gales Creek, God is calling us to the next level. We cannot afford to be complacent. We cannot afford to take God's provision for granted. Gratitude should motivate us into action that changes the world in which we live. We are obligated to care for others and to spread the gospel, the good news. How is Jesus showing up in your life? Will we continue the ways of the temple whose wall prevents the unbeliever to access God? Or will we be like Jesus, tear down the partition, inviting everyone to Christ and to get to know who God is? The blessings we receive, be it physical, mental, spiritual, all of them are for God's glory and for the building of the kingdom of God. We should want to change the world in response to the change that God has offered us through Jesus Christ. So let's commit ourselves. Let's commit to living a life of gratitude. Gratitude for salvation. Gratitude for accountability in God and his people because of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So let's pray. Holy God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for the lessons that we get to learn from it, how we can be better, moving closer and closer to the restored image that you created us in. Thank you for that. Help us to live out today's lesson and all of the lessons in this series of having a fresh start in you, what it means that we have a fresh start in Jesus Christ. Just as we look at having a fresh start in the new year, you have given us a fresh start in our hearts and in our minds. Give us courage to live out what you've called us to do, to be bold, to stamp on the enemy's head, all for your glory. Because we know that you are with us to empower us, to guide us, to protect us, to deliver us. We ask these things. Amen and amen. All right. Let's close with a song, and I'll come back with the benediction.
Let's stand and sing, "Oh, How He Loves You and Me."
Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His what more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for His love for you and for me. So go now, my dear brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that God's love is with you wherever you go. So this week, be inspired to share that love with others. Somebody, it could be a complete stranger, needs to know the love of God. So share it with them. God gave it to you to share with others. Go in His grace, go in His peace, until we meet again. God bless you, God keep you.